In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 108. I still kind of marvel. John Senecal, Brian Shackman. We've done over 100 episodes of this podcast.
This is going to be our fourth opening day. Can you believe that?
I can't. Is that true?
Yeah, because we started during the pandemic, right? Yeah. And they actually had an opening day like when it was like August or something like that, right, or July, right. End of July. 2021, 2022, 2023.
So, people who are just on board who haven't been here from the beginning, John, I moved back to Connecticut in 2019, and John and I would talk here and there, and we obviously did some fantasy baseball, did some other things, and he just shot me a text or a phone call. I can't remember. I said, hey, I have this idea. I thought of you. You like the Red Sox. I like the Yankees. There's nothing really like that out there. Let's try it. And I was like, we got nothing else to do.
Why not? There's nothing else going on. We're sitting in our basements.
I was not necessarily against it, but I can't say I was like gung-ho for it. And I'm just kind of amazed. I am really surprised at how long we've made it and how well it's going. So,
well, another good thing is it's going to get busy, right? Because opening day is literally right on top of us.
That's the focus of what we're going to do today. It's about opening day and some predictions and it's very exciting for baseball season. I'm excited because I will tell you that the experience of going has gotten worse. And it's not just because the Red Sox are bad. Even when they're good, the experience of going to Fenway has gotten progressively less fun.
You park farther and farther away every year.
No, it's just, and maybe it's my age. I'm not like, hey, let's go have 20
Are you going to opening
beers.
Day?
Of course. I've gone every year for the last, I think, 17 with my wife.
Yeah.
But my point is that Fenway hasn't been fun for a lot of reasons. One is it gets more and more expensive, and B, the game gets longer and longer and less enjoyable. And I've gotten this cycle where the first three innings, I'm totally engaged. The middle three, I'm just not engaged. And then I plug back in for the last three. And I wanted to ask you, I know we've talked about it already, but in the macro, how do you – and we've seen pitchers, we saw the Craig Kimbrel, Real Muto thing the other day with the glove and people think he did it on purpose. And I heard a lot of people talking about how they actually think it was the pitcher who screwed up. And
right.
And the umpire was actually justified because Craig Kimbrel was just – he was messing around and tweaking him, trying to find ways to extend it. You keep asking for a new baseball, you get more time or whatever, right? And so the bottom line is I want to ask you if you think this is going to be a net positive for baseball.
The pitch clock and all the new rule changes?
Really just the pitch clock.
Yeah, well, the pitch clock has proven that it's going to speed up the game if you look at it in spring training, right? So going back to what you just said is the game is going to move faster. And it's interesting that, if the game is moving faster, but yeah, when you go to opening day, that's like the one game of the season where it's like you're like in a prison, right? You get in there and it's like they're going to get that game in no matter what, pretty much, right? So like you could be there for 4 hours in a rain delay, right? And it's going to happen. So that aside, after opening day, I think the pitch clock is going to be a good thing. And I don't necessarily see it being as much of an issue. If you look back to last season when they all started doing the spider tack, looking for the sticky substances, and everyone was going nuts. But that was like thrust on them, right? That was like thrown in their face. And then you start dealing with emotions and are guys doing it right? Are guys doing it wrong? I feel like there's been a warm-up act for this, right?
They're prepared.
The guys that have come through the minors are prepared. And I feel like the spring training guys were prepared. And listen, and when you listen and you follow Major League Baseball and you listen to it on the radio and you get a little bit more in depth of what's going on in camps, there's only a few guys out there that this could probably affect, that work really slow,
right,
that aren't as fast, that would have, unquote, a hard time adapting to this. But they're going to have to, right? There's no choice. So
the pitcher is artist who really sets people up, and there's a thought process. You don't think that thought process and strategy suffers?
I do think so, but I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal until the crucial situations come into effect. I mean, yes, every game is important. We know that. But when it's really dissected and when every single pitch counts overall because you might not make it back the next day. I think that's when it will come into play. By the time you get there, it shouldn't be an issue, though.
Well, it's funny that you say that. The last thing I'll say on this, and let's get to predictions, is in the playoffs, I kind of like the drama of fixing your cap, getting the resin bag, you know, the intensity of the moment when it's down to a pitch. I wonder if it will make sense eventually to tack on extra time or something in the playoffs or something, or to take it off the I don't know, because there's something about those crucial moments in the playoffs that it's nice to stretch it out a little bit.
Actually. Yeah, I think not so much the pitch clock, but the whole stepping off and throwing to first is going to be a big issue come the postseason, because you don't want that guy at second or third, right? No matter what.
Right.
And if you step off twice, chances are you're going to be stealing, right? So you got to be ready. I think that will come into play a lot more than the pitch clock.
And if the umps have the gumption to keep it going. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, Fan Base, a deep diver in the greatest rivalry in sports. This is our it's opening day edition, really. And we'll go right into the American League East. I saw ESPN in their power rankings, which I did them for hockey for a couple of years, so I know how like kind of ridiculous they are.
Let me guess,
they picked
the Blue Jays, right?
Well,
everyone loves the Blue Jays.
Every year they love the Blue Jays. No, yeah. I mean, the ESPN, I think, picked the Yankees to win the division, but we'll get to that in a second. They had the Red Sox 19th
overall
in baseball. And that actually sounds about right, which is stunning to me. And even if the Red Sox are around 500, they very well could be a last place team again. So, and I didn't even know until just a few minutes ago who was playing center field.
Yeah.
They sent down Jared Duran, so it's going to be Adam Duvall.
Which isn't bad. Adam Duvall's a good baseball player. He'll get it done. As long as he's healthy, he'll be fine.
Here's your starting lineup, okay? You have, what? They have Reese McGuire behind the plate.
Yep.
Tristan Casas at first. Christian Arroyo at second. Rafael Devers at third. Kike Hernandez at short. Masataka Yoshida at left. Duvall in center. Alex Verdugo in right. So Verdugo goes to right.
Turner at DH.
Yeah, and so that's not exactly inducing fear in opponents. And I don't even know if there's enough protection for Devers to get get enough strikes. So
a lot of that's going to really rely on Justin Turner, I believe. Honestly.
Yeah, and Cassis is a big deal, too. I guess he sees the ball really well and he doesn't chase
Cassis
it.
Cassis is a left-handed hitter, though, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to go lefty-lefty.
No, but it's just in general, if there's other hitters that people can fear. I mean, Cassis didn't have a great spring average-wise, but he had a pretty good spring power-wise. And so, yeah, I think he's still so young.
Yeah. Devers is going to produce. You know that. Yoshida, I would say, probably is going to be your Ichiro 2.0. Probably will be your rookie of the year, most likely.
Right. And he had such a good World Baseball Classic that I think his confidence is super high. Yep. And I think Boston will embrace him. But I think ultimately they could win 82 games, which is like to me the high watermark, and still finish in last because Baltimore.
Would they win last year? 86?
No.
84? 78.
Yeah. They were below eight. They were below the Mason-Dixon line, but for sure.
And
no, it's true. And I'll just give you the numbers here, you know, really quick in terms of, they won 78 games and the Yankees won 99. So in your opinion, I mean, again, ESPN picked the Yankees. I mean, I would say I still am waiting for Toronto to wake up. I know they're always the sexy pick, but it's hard to supplant the Yankees until they actually get it done.
Yeah, I would have to say that the Yankees are the favorite. I'm going to say exactly what I'm going to go with you. That would exactly what I would say. You know, every year I feel like Toronto's a sexy pick, and then everyone's like, "Well, you can't count Tampa out." I feel like this year, Baltimore's pitching depth just still scares me, and you really have to make sure that those young guys all click, right?
Right.
It's a young team, which it can happen when you're not really quote playing for nothing, right? But
if they get John Means back, maybe they're a little bit better.
I just worry about the pitching, much like I worry about the Yankees pitching. You know, like in the depth in pitching is huge. We know that it wins. You need length. Look at Team USA. You know, the players don't go over the second inning. You need length. You need starters. I would say yes, the Yankees are the favorite. I would pick them to win the division. But going back to the pitching, I'm very scared that right now we literally only have like two healthy starters. When you think about it, that are quality starters, and I'll go even further to say we only have one healthy, super qualified starter. That would be Gerrit Cole, because he's the only one in that rotation right now that has perennially been a quality starter over the years.
It seems like the Yankees either start really amazing or really terrible. They never like start off like 500. I mean, they either have a lot to protect or they have to make up a lot of ground. So that basically brings us to the whole league. I mean, most people are picking Cleveland to win the Central, And even though Seattle's better, most people are picking Houston to win the West again. And the question is whether, you know, Houston has stepped back a little bit or enough to have an opening. And I think that they're probably more vulnerable than they were in last year. So, I mean, I think the AL East is going to produce your World Series team. The question is who? Do you see the Yankees as a World Series team?
If everything pans out, yes.
Well, that's true for everybody.
You need to be healthy. But right now, no, I don't. If you threw that lineup that they're going to throw out there on opening day,
you don't think they can beat Houston?
No. If you throw up that lineup with your projected five starters,
right?
I don't think so. Because listen, Houston lost Justin Verlander, right? But they also have probably the next top two out of 10 starters in the league. Christian Javier could win the Cy Young.
He's getting better.
And Framil Valdez, we all know what he can do. And listen, you lost Yuri Gurriel, but you replaced him with an MVP in Jose Abreu. Now, Jose Abreu is older because he's a Cuban and he played for a while, right? But he's still a good player. So I don't really see Houston got worse. Now, Did the Yankees get better? Not really, because right now Carlos Rodon is hurt. And that's really, if you think about it, other than Anthony Volpe, which we could talk about in a second, is the only real addition to the Yankees.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
So there's two things I want to talk about. One of them is Volpe. Is it Volpe or Volpe?
It's Volpe. I always butcher it, but yeah, it is Volpe.
So the first question is Aaron Judge. You know, it's hard to think that he could match last year. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I look at it this way. So you're not going to hit 63 home runs. Like,
well, you don't know
you
that.
You don't know that, but the odds are severely stacked against you.
Yeah.
I mean, the projection, I would say he's going to hit 40. Again, Aaron Judge, it all comes down to him staying healthy. But again, he has to be in that lineup because he's going to be bouncing all over the place at least for the first month of the season. You know, he might start the first game in center field for the Yankees. Yes, Aaron Judge can live up to all the hype. We know it. Aaron Judge is a freak of nature. He's a 6'8" guy who plays like he's 6 foot. And I think, you know, having Anthony Volpe make the Yankees starting lineup, I think the combination of him making the starting lineup takes a little bit of focus off of Judge. But at the same time, they complement each other, right? Because Judge can sit there and live up to his contract and everyone won't be so critical of Volpe, everyone thinking, oh, this is our savior. This is our guy. We need him to perform. Now, I think Yankee fans in general are going to be very supportive of him, right? I think if he comes out and he bats, you know, 250 over the first month of the season, they're not going to be calling for his head because he's not batting 300.
Right.
You know, you can remember Aaron Judge, Mike Trout came up and batted 220 and went back down, right?
Listen, Dustin Pedroia came up in the late season. And I remember I was working at NBC Connecticut, and Jason
Hendry,
and he was so into him. And I said, this guy stinks. He's going to be awful. And he's like, just you wait. And he came back the next, you know, and then he tore it up. And so, in Volpe, if people don't know, he's from New Jersey. He turns 22 next month, in April. And he's going to be the starting shortstop. And, of course, the last time they had somebody that young playing shortstop, he was a Hall of Famer, won a couple World Series in Derek Jeter. And I think it's hard to put that kind of pressure on a kid. And I don't know what kind of pressure he feels. But he goes out there in spring training, and he's essentially kind of like the best hitter on the team. And so he obviously can do it, but you don't know what's going to happen. And I like the move as long as he truly feels like he can struggle and it won't matter. Because one thing about being around baseball, and I, you know, obviously I got some exposure to Rico Bronya when he was, you know, with the Mets. You have 162 games, but if you go 0-4, you start to feel it. And then if you go out the next day and you go 0-4 again, it's almost like you're in a crisis. Like the pressure of baseball, even though you have so many at bats, it doesn't work that way.
So are we going to set the bar? What was it? I think Jeter, it was like 31 at bats. He didn't get a hit one year, something like that.
He went 0 for 31.
Yeah, and that was when they finally booed Derek Jeter. I can't remember what season it was. It was probably like
he was probably 38 years old.
Well, I don't think so. I think he was a little bit younger than that. But that I was distinctly remember that. It was like 31 at bats and he went without a hit or somewhere, 30 at bats, which is, you know, like you said, you think that's crazy, but that's over the course of what? Like five games, right? Basically right. like a week. And you don't get a hit over a week in Major League Baseball, especially at the beginning of the season, your average is down to nothing. I think, yes, Anthony Volpe, listen, he almost kind of fits the whole Derek Jeter story in a way. Like, you know, he's kind of groomed to be a Yankee. He wanted to play for the Yankees. You know, he could have went to Vanderbilt, but he had like this sit down dinner with his head of Yankee scouting. And they, you know, basically laid out like, you know, this, you're not going to be a Yankee if you go to Vanderbilt. It's just not going to happen. This right. is your chance if you want to do it. And they left it up to him to do it. And you think about it, Anthony Volpe only had like a year and a half in the minors. He got drafted in 2019. His 2020 season was a wipeout, and he had 2021.
Did you get his signature last year in Hartford?
Nothing.
One of my son's friends got it. They got Volpe.
Yeah. We got Trey Sweeney at Hudson Valley. No Jason Dominguez either. But going back to Volpe, it's like, you know, like I've said it before with Judge, the blueprint's written, right? He's been wearing Yankee stuff his whole life. He's built for it, I guess we'll say.
Let's see. Okay, John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's just go quickly through predictions for all of baseball. So are you going to go Yankees, Indians, Astros?
I will go Yankees. I don't know about the Indians. I'll go with I'm gonna go dark horse, and I'll say the White Sox finally live up to the hype.
Okay,
and do it.
Okay,
and then I will say the Astros, but I feel like they are gonna have the Mariners so hot on their heels. Like I don't see them winning by 12 games.
Well, that changes the calculus a little bit, because if you have Chicago winning the Central, and then you have three wild cards, right? So you have to figure Toronto is going to be one. And then you figure Seattle will be two. And then you have some challenges. You tell me Cleveland's going to get shut out from the playoffs after winning 92? You tell me.
Well, Tristan McKenzie is hurt, and he's got that lat issue. So, you know, I feel like he'll definitely be out at least a month, almost 2 months.
So who are your wild cards?
I'm going to go wild card. I'll say the Seattle Mariners.
Okay.
And I'll go crazy, right? I'm going to go crazy, and I'm going to say that the Orioles finally open up the checkbook, and they trade a couple guys, and they get somebody, and they make a run at it, and they win the other wild card.
And then Toronto with being the third?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a bold prediction. That's what we're in the market for. I like it.
There's not one part of me that wants to see Toronto in the playoffs. I just don't know why. I just don't like them. It's like the whole hype. You know,
but you don't like them because every year they're picked to supplant the Yankees. That's understandable. And they have – listen, they're one of the few teams that when you watch them, you get nervous for several at-bats that they're going to get absolutely crushed. NL.
NL, I will go with the flavor in the West. I'm going to say the Dodgers are done. I'm going to go with the Padres. I will go with. I so want to say the Cubs in the Central. I so want to.
Are they
going to
be that much better?
No, but I want to. You know what I mean? I just, for some reason, I want to, but they're not. I'm going to stick with. You know, the Cardinals scare me too. They just don't. I don't know if the Wainwright and the. He's going to hang in there.
I mean, the NL Central is like the who cares division, in my opinion.
It is. I mean, who am I going to pick?
Milwaukee.
Everyone kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So I'll go with
St. Louis by default.
I'll go with St. Louis by default, and I'm not going to go with the Mets. I'm going to just say they got too many, just too much going on there. I'm going to go with the Phillies. Actually, I'm going to go with the Phillies to win the East, and then I'll go with the Braves as the wild card.
And Mets don't make the playoffs?
No, I'm going to go Mets wild card.
So that's okay. So Phillies win the division.
Three out of East in both.
And then the Braves and the Mets get the wild card, and where's the third wild card? It's going to be the Dodgers? Is that your assumption? I mean, it has to be, right? I mean, you can't have them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the Dodgers has got too much going on. They figure it out somehow.
I think they'll – I'm not doing a lot of predictions because you know baseball better than me. I still think the Padres don't put it together. And I think they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they'll win the division. I think the Dodgers just find a way to win the regular season. And the Phillies, I think are – I'm just going to say it now because it'll be the next thing. I think the Phillies are winning the World Series. That's my sense of things, and I think it – I'm not against it.
Well, you know, Bryce Harper will be back sooner than later. They haven't even put the dude on the 60-day IL. So you know what they're doing is they're just sitting there. Let us know when you're ready.
He'll be back. He'll play.
He'll be back before the All-Star break.
What's wrong with him again?
He had Tommy John surgery.
That's right.
Yeah, he played all last season with a ripped UCL.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, I think the thought was he would be back sometime in August. I'm going to say end of June.
And you don't think it's dangerous to do that? You think
he played with it injured?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so I think it's
Again, DH, right? You got the DH in the league. So Schwarber's going to have to step up more, right, when he comes back. Because I don't think they're going to be like, all right, Bryce, you're playing right. Gun the guy out at home. Right. But they want him ready for the postseason if they're going to make a run, because they're not going to win without Bryce Harper.
So I think the Yankees are going to make the World Series, although it was tough for me not picking the Blue Jays, but you've sort of talked me out of it since everyone's picking up Yankees and the Phillies, and the Phillies win it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad.
What are you taking? What are you doing?
What's that?
What's your choice?
Who's going to win the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see the Yankees-Phillies. That'd be awesome.
But what's your prediction?
Well, I'm going to go with the Yankees. Why wouldn't I?
All right.
I'm not just saying that because I like them. I feel like if, like I said, if the guys come back and everyone's healthy. No,
they're going to have to trade for a number one or two at the deadline. Pitcher. They're going to need another pitcher. They have to. And maybe, you know, they'll obviously go out and get a bat. They've never hesitated to go out and get a bat.
Yeah, I just don't understand how they're going to be able to just juggle and have Donaldson playing. I mean, Aaron Boone said Donaldson's the dark horse.
Yeah, he's trying
this
to talk him up. He's just trying to talk him up. And I mean, that's all
it's
right.
Just he's. But how long are you going to stick with him, right? If he so-called craps the bed and just keeps doing it and doing it, I mean, eventually you just got to cut bait on him. You know,
Cashman's probably dictating the terms here and saying you got to play him until we can move him or whatever. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, fan base, a deep diver of the greatest rivalry in sports. Last thing, MVP.
MVP, I will go with American League J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez out of Seattle, and in the National League, Mr. Pimp My Home Run, Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, I don't have anybody in the NL. I just don't know who to pick. So I'll pick Mookie Betts. But in the American League, I think it's going to be Ohtani. I think he's going to be massive. I just don't know if he's going to play enough on offense. Like, I mean, I feel like there's going to be
more. he's definitely cemented himself as the best player in the world. Like, won't say, like, the whole debate, most valuable or best player, he's clearly the best player on the planet.
The question is, how bad is the team going to be? And, you know, what
those poor memes, you know? Yeah. The Angels with Ohtani and Trout, and it's like a hillbilly in the corner, and then it's like Ohtani by himself winning a championship, Trout by himself. It's like, come on. How can you not win with those two guys?
They got nothing else, but they got to invest in it. All right, listen, it's great. I can't wait. You know, I'm going to freeze my tuchus off at Fenway. When's your first game at Yankee Stadium? Have you figured it out yet?
I'm not sure yet.
For the cheap tickets?
Well, no, listen, I was going to go on Wednesday, but now they moved my son's opening day to Wednesday for varsity baseball. So, you know, priorities. I like to be there and watch. So I was going to go Wednesday against the Phillies. I don't know. TBD. I still might go. And if I do, I'm going to try to wrestle Bobby Dickerson for an interview.
Of course, Bobby Dickerson, who's the bench coach for the Phillies.
He's the infield coach.
Infield coach for the Phillies. And, of course, John's known him for a couple decades now, and he's a tough guy to track down. If you want to go back into the archives, we have a great two-part chat with him during the pandemic,
like the Chupacabra.
Hard to get a handle. John Senecal, Brian Shackman, you've been listening and watching Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.